Okay, one more time. Yom Tov Shechalias Rav Shabbos also left with the Lavashal Bikir Yechedis the Shabbos Al Ela Alide Eruv Tavshilin. You're not allowed to prepare a pot of food, a dish, a machal from Yom Tov for Shabbos, unless you make an Eruv Tavshilin, which means you prepare. We'll see in a moment exactly how it's done, but it has to be prepared before Yom Tov begins. When do you make the Erev Tavshilin? She'oseh be'erev Yom Tov, must be made Erev Yom Tov. So in Chutz Li'aretz, we have a Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. You must make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday. Wednesday, Erev Yom Tov, is when you make the Erev Tavshilin. Why is it called Erev? What does the word Erev have to do with the word Tavshilin? So I saw in the art school, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, in the footnote, it explains two reasons why we call it Erev. Number one, Erev means to mix. And it means here you're allowed to mix the Yom Tov food with the Shabbos food. I'm cooking for Yom Tov, which is 100% permissible. Cooking for Shabbos is 100% forbidden. But now that I've made this thing called the mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin, the reason why we call the Erev is because now I'm allowed to mix and mingle. Erev means to mix and mingle. I can mix the preparations for Shabbos with Yom Tov with my preparations for Shabbos. That's one reason why the Mefarshim call it the word Erev. A second reason why we call it Erev is it's a borrowed term, borrowed from the word Eruve Chatzeros. Now, Eruve Chatzeros, there the word Erev means something very literal. It means to mingle, to merge. All of the courtyards, or all of the people in the bayis have been mingled. They're all merged. They all are together in one reshus. The reason why we make it Eruve Chatzeros is in order that a person should recognize, should know, that you're not allowed to carry from a reshus Hayachid to a reshus Harabin. And don't make a mistake and think that if you can go from your private house to the courtyard, if you can do that, maybe you'll make a mistake and think you can go from your house into the Rishus Sarabim through making this thing called the Eruve Chatzeros, where everyone in the community becomes one big happy family. You will become aware that under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to go from the Rishus Hayachid to a Rishus Sarabim. Once the word Eruv is precise in the context of Eruve Chatzeros, we borrow that term for Eruve Tavshilin, because Eruve Tavshilin really serves a similar concept. It reminds a person under normal circumstances you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Chol and Yom Tov to Shabbos. And the only reason why today we are allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos is because we have made here this mitzvah. We have done this mitzvah of Eruve Tavshilin. Let me give you a little bit more background. There's a very important machlokes in the Gemara between Rabba and Rav Chista. The lumdis, he's going to explain some of this, but not all of this. Let me just give back and we'll run through very quickly inside. There's a very yisodic machlokes how this thing works. This thing called Eruve Tavshilin. Me'ikar Hadin, we all have no choice but to fall back on the second opinion of Rav Chista. Rav Chista says as follows: Min HaTorah, you are allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, because Shabbos has more Kiddusha than Yom Tov. The only thing you're not allowed to do Min HaTorah is to prepare from Yom Tov to Chol. Oh, of course, Shabbos anyway, you can chil Shabbos. You have to cook, you can't really cook. But once already you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, a person may be inclined, I have a day off from work, I might as well prepare supper for the whole week. I work like a dog, I come home so late at night, here it's Yom Tov, I'm relaxed, I slept good nap, got a good sleep, so I might as well go and prepare lunch for the whole week. I'll sit down on Yom Tov and knock it off and prepare food. That is an Isser de'oraisa l'chol hades. You're not allowed to prepare for from Yom Tov to Chol. It's a lower Kedusha. Now, but you are allowed Min HaTorah to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, because Shabbos has a higher Kedusha than Yom Tov. The problem is, if we have a Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and we allow you on Friday to prepare for Shabbos, you'll easily make a mistake and say, just like last year, or just like this year, I was permitted to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So what's the difference? Shabbos or Chol. So when it comes to the last days of Yom Tov, I'll prepare from Yom Tov for the following week. Chazal saw that to be a very great danger, a very great possibility. possible source of confusion to the average person, and therefore they stepped in according to Rav Chisna, and they said, when you prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you can't do it. Loy plug. Just like you can't prepare from Yom Tov to Chol. The only thing we'll do as a heker, as a way to remind you that Yom Tov to Chol is not like Yom Tov to Shabbos, requiring you to make this mitzvah called a Ruvei Tafshilin. So in that context, the word Erev really fits very well. It's a reminder. Erev means to mingle. But just like when it comes to Erev Chatzeros, there it means to mingle. We merge together all the people in the courtyard into one big happy family. They all mingle together. And the reason why we do this is in order to remind people that you can't go from a Rishos Sayochi to a Rishos Sarab. And the only reason why you're allowed to go here is because you're going from a Rishos Sayochi to another Rishos Sayochi. It just happens that one Rishos Sayochi is shared by a group. Another Rishos Yachid is private, but it's confusing. So when we do this mitzvah, you won't get confused, and you'll be reminded of the concepts. So we take this concept of reminder, and we take that word Eruv, and we apply it to the word Tafshilin, and we require you to make this, do this mitzvah of to prepare food before Yom Tov as a reminder that from Yom Tov to Shabbos is mutter because it has more kedusha. But don't get carried away and go from Yom Tov to Chol. Now that is really the primary reason we make an error, because many times it happens when you're making preparations, no one is. You don't have the other reason of Rabbah. Now, what's the other reason of Rabbah? Rabbah comes to say that really you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos either, because you're not allowed to prepare. Shabbos has its kedusha, another kedusha. Don't go start judging which one has more kedusha. Each one has its own unique kedusha. You may not prepare from one day to another day. The lumness of making an Eruv Tafshilin is that technically speaking, guests may arrive. I'm going to prepare a cholent on Friday. The cholent will be ready, or at least be one third ready. It has to be the food. You make an Eruv Tafshilin, you have to prepare the food where the food will be at least one third complete by the time Shabbos begins. Who knows? Maybe the very last moment, I'll have a whole baseball team will come in and have nothing to eat. They'll be starving, and they'll come into my dining room, and I'll sit them all down, and I'll give them all the food all of this food. So since theoretically there's a possibility that guests will arrive before Shabbos begins, and I'll be able to serve them this food, even though I'm not such a nice guy. And the last time I invited a guest to eat by my table, I don't even remember. It was a different Gilgal. Not in this lifetime, but you never know. Listen, you never know. There's always hope. You never know. It could always happen. And therefore, it's technically, there's a possibility. That possibility is sufficient to take away the prohibition of preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbos.
How about leftovers? If you're preparing for Yom Tov and things are left over for Shabbos?
Absolutely. That's a solution if you forget to make an Eruv Tafshilin. This situation we're dealing with, where you're preparing exclusively for Shabbos. I have a special Shabbos cholent. We only eat this on Shabbos. Yehoreg Val Yavar. No one's going to dare eat this on Yom Tov itself. So I'm preparing only for Shabbos. I'm preparing only. So that's when you need to come on to the Eruv Tafshilin. We're going to mention later on in this seminar, let's say a person chas v'shalom forgets to make the Eruv Tafshilin. So then there's a solution. What you can do is you can prepare a larger meal for Yom Tov. I have a pot of soup, a pot of meat, whatever I have, and I'll just add a few more pieces into the pot, because you know you like to, you don't want to be tight. You may want to have some doubles, but in the back of your mind you know that all likelihood it's not going to be left. It's going to be leftovers which you're going to use for the next day. That indeed is a solution. The prohibition of preparing is only we do something that's miyuchad. So we have really two reasons that it's not technically forbidden, and the second reason really is the more important reason. The reason why it's really more important to prove to you is because if you forget to make an Eruv Tafshilin, even though you're not allowed to cook, make food, there are things you are still allowed to do to prepare for Shabbos. For example, lighting candles. You're allowed to light candles. Why are you allowed to light candles Friday night? Friday for Shabbos. I'm only lighting candles for Shabbos. It's Hachana from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Right? It's Friday. And
it's the place of Shabbos.
But it's still Yom Tov. I'm doing a malacha of lighting a candle on Friday, which lighting a candle on Yom Tov. I'm doing a malacha on, it's before Shkia, before sunset, it's Friday, it's Yom Tov. I'm only lighting this candle for honor of Shabbos, which is the next day. And I forgot to make an Eruv Tafshilin. How am I allowed to do this? So the truth is, if a person forgets to make an Eruv Tavshilim, a person's wife indeed forgot to make an Eruv Tavshilim, make her Adin, she's only allowed to light one candle. Okay, tell a woman who has 13 children, and there's a Hasidish woman who has 13 children and normally lights, if you have 13 children, so what do you light? You light 15. So she has a candelabra, 15 candles, and she forgot to make an Eruv Tavshilim. So, and we're going in a case where there is no Rav. If there's a Rav, you can be samech on the Rav. Or let's say she's already in violation.
She lights one less.
The Rav has in mind the whole community?
Yes.
It covers the whole community?
It covers the whole community, yes. The Rav has to make a special, he has to bring the...
That's Bidiyavid.
Bidiyavid. And you only can rely upon the Rav once.
Once.
The second time, you can't rely upon the Rav and you're stuck. There's a solution, what do you do? No, you don't. That's it. You're stuck. Only one Rav, that's it. You're out. You're finished. So therefore, yeah, then there's a whole shayla. You wait three Yom Tovim, then you reset. You can reset, you know, it's like get a speeding ticket. They claim after 3 years, they could what?
18 months,
but it's also on your record. Yeah. So they claim that if they're after 3 years, yeah, they still claim that. I don't know if it's true. I'm sure the government has records forever, right? Nothing. They're not giving away records. They don't forget nothing.
Can't find it.
What? Sure. If they want, they'll find it. When they need to, they'll find it. When it's convenient for them, they'll find it. When it's not convenient, but supposedly in the olden days, it just disappears after a period of time. So likewise, the person.
They don't send it to the insurance company.
They don't send. That's all it means. They don't send it. They won't notify the insurance company. But probably the insurance company can find out if they really want. Also, everyone has a gimmick, a kunz. But when it comes to Eruv Tavshilin, Chazal say it leaves the record. After three regalim, so then your record is clear. You can start all over again. Okay, but the point, it was a very big chiddush. If a woman does not make an Eruv Tavshilin, there is no Rav to rely upon. Or let's say she was a Rav and she really violated it, relied upon it once, so no longer can you rely upon it. So now it's Friday night, so she has to light candles. How is she allowed to light a candle on Friday? You're lighting a candle on Friday in honor of Shabbos. You're doing a malacha on Yom Tov in honor of Shabbos. That's a no-no. And there's no... There should be a light in the house, so Ben Ashmash, so just even before Shabbos, in case a guest comes, they don't say that you don't need light.
It's dark in the house.
But before you're lighting, you're doing it now before Ben Ashmash.
But the candles make it the
Poskim say that it's not significant. Okay, maybe there is such an opinion.
Don't light on the second night of Yom Kippur.
They don't light it the second night?
Shasta? Does not light candles on the second night of Yom
Kippur. He doesn't light the first night either.
It's
his wife. His wife doesn't want
on the
wife.
Second night of Yom Tov, L'halik Ner Shel Yom Tov.
Right.
That's a whole different thing. We're talking about lighting Shabbos candles.
I know.
Right. But Rav Shech does not light the second night of L'halik Ner Shel Yom Tov.
Right.
How could that possibly be? Chesek of the Yom? Why?
You don't need
to. It's only the first day Yom Tov?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a very interesting topic in general, the laws of lighting Neres on Yom Tov. Why do we light on Yom Tov?
I'm pretty sure he said that. I mean, everybody knows, and people who follow the meaning don't do it either.
They don't light candles the second night of Yom Tov. No candle lighting. All the calendars have the candle lighting time on the second night of Yom Tov.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, chiddush. But here we're talking about lighting Friday night candles. So how you light a light? So you're telling me this long? This maybe you're right. Maybe this one that says because maybe a guest will come when you need a light. It's getting a little bit dark. It's coming from the bias. Could be there is something to it.
Do you cover your eyes before?
Yes, you do it the same way. You do everything the same way. It's a sugi in itself. We once discussed this. We once had a shir on, I don't remember anything anymore, but we once had a shir on lighting candles. It's a very big topic. It's a big tzayin halacha. Halakas neros for Yom Tov. It's a mystery. It's not so simple. Why b'chlal you mechuyev to light? There's no makar. Lighting for Shabbos is a makar in the Gemara. Lighting for Yom Tov, where does it come from? You should light candles for Yom Tov. Where does it come from? Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur maybe called Shabbos, but Yom Tov, right, but in general, here you're lighting on Friday. So you're telling me alumnus that you're going to need it. You need it for Yom Tov itself, but you're making the bracha lahalik nirshal Shabbos. It's pretty explicit. It's pretty making a bracha b'shem malchus. So how does all this work? So the poets can basically say that in this situation, you basically have no choice but to fall back upon the shita of Rav Chista. It's a very important yisod. You have to know what you're falling back on. Is that when the Shabbos is more kedusha than Yom Tov, and there is no biblical prohibition to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. We don't like to rely upon that. We like to make use of that I'm doing things now, Shema, maybe guests will arrive. Since a guest will arrive, if a guest will arrive, that will allow me...
You have a big... let's say you have a Shabbos, the second day of Yom Tov, whatever, Erev Shabbos, you find out you have a Shalom Zachar at night. A kid was born.
Yeah.
So you have to prepare for the Shalom Zachar?
That's right. If you're Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin allows you to make all preparations.
So you have to go get the beer, you have to get the guy...
All the preparations. Yes, all the preparations. Yes, you're allowed to make all... A Ruvei Tavshilin allows you to make all preparations for Shabbos. Everything can be done for Shabbos to an Erev Tavshilin. But we have to, even though Lechatchila we try to work it out that what you're doing is really for Yom Tov, it's of Shema Mekloi Archim. Maybe, who knows, the guests will come before us, Shalom Zachar, right?
They'll
come early. A beer party. There'll be an early Super Bowl party. They'll come on Yom Tov, right? That's all, that's part of the alumnus. Technically speaking, what I'm doing, I can do, it can be done for Yom Tov. But when push comes to shove, when everything is over, you always to some degree have to rely upon Rav Chista that says you're allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, and this is a very important yisoid.
I always thought that the Erev Tov Shabbos, you're beginning the process of Shabbos on Erev Yom Tov. You're beginning the process, the continuing the preparation.
That's the way the Rabbanim, the Inechadami, that's the lumness of how it works, of what they did. But it doesn't take away of how will be you remind yourself that Yom Tov to Shabbos is different than Yom Tov to Chol. You're right. What you're saying is true. That's the technique, Chazal. You're going to begin the preparation on Friday. On Chol on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
So I'm not
for Shabbos. So
for Shabbos. All the way to Shabbos. But what does that accomplish? But the bottom line is I'm still preparing on Shabbos, on Yom Tov for Shabbos. I'm still doing something that's forbidden. I'm beginning the process when it's the weekday. I'm beginning to prepare for Shabbos on Wednesday. Wednesday is a weekday. On a weekday, I could certainly prepare for Shabbos. But that doesn't take away from the problem that when I make my preparations on Friday, I'm preparing on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So the answer is, well, you're not really preparing for Yom Tov for Shabbos because maybe people will come on Yom Tov and you'll give them all the food for Yom Tov. That is not enough of an excuse. If you did not make an Erev Tavshilin, you would be stuck because you can't go tell me, no, I'm not preparing for Shabbos. I'm preparing now in the morning because maybe guests will come. Chazal will laugh at you. Yeah, very nice, but we all know what you're thinking in your mind. But since you also already began the preparations for Shabbos on Wednesday, so that will now serve as a reminder that's in combination with the fact that guests will come. It will remind you that in this instance we're letting you prepare for Shabbos because guests indeed may come. But normally, when it would just be a preparation from Yom Tov, purely from Yom Tov to Chol, it would be Aser. It's a combination of factors. It's a combination. We're doing this, that you're beginning the preparation on Shabbos to remind you that in this instance it's going to be Mutter because there's a possibility guests will come, but under normal circumstances to prepare from Yom Tov to Chol will be Aser. Okay, that's what you're saying is a lot.
Why can't you use this sveikin? I mean, you have the suffix that it's really Yom Tov.
Sveik of the Yoma. Sveik, maybe it's really Yom Tov. We do use that, and the person forgot. And when a person forgot that to make the Erev Tavshilin, you can use this to make it on Yom Tov itself. But Sveik of the Yoma is very limited. Sveik of the Yoma, it's a suffix. It's suffix is a suffix, and you're not manavshach. Maybe the second day is Yom Tov. Going back, putting aside the calendar, maybe really the second day of Yom Tov is, maybe Friday really is Yom Tov. And that means you're preparing on Yom Tov for another day, which is a violation.
Well, but there's a suffix where it's a violation, right?
So what? So you want to say it's a suffix, and maybe a guest will arrive, since a guest will arrive early, so that should be it.
The guest arrives,
so it's snake. Chazal obviously did not hold that to be significant.
I'm starting a group called Every Day of Tavshilin. We will go to everybody's house Friday afternoon to see what
clean it out.
You have to taste.
Clean it out.
So you should know, you subscribe, we come to your house. If we don't come to your house, we're sorry, but we really will come next time.
Okay, so this is just a general hagdama. Let's now see what it says inside. Let's run through the salachs a little quickly. Yom Tov Shalom Tam Bavalach Avav. Yom Tov Shalom Tam Bavalach Avav. You cannot bake make in a pot a dish miyuchet for Shabbos. Aval ella alidei eruv tavshil do this mitzvah. Shoyse be'erev yomtov. You make on Wednesday. Dahainu, how do you make the eruv? A lot of laws how to make the eruv. Dahainu shalokeach eze tavshil itzli shiroi lafis bayas hapas v'gampas. There are two things. You have to take a cooked dish. It has to be cooked. What do you? So the most common thing people use today is a hard boiled egg. That or use fish.
Yeah, gefilte.
You use gefilte fish. Yeah,
they can use it.
Yeah,
you definitely can use it. Fine, but you have to use a tavshil. We can either slay a piece of roasted meat or a piece of fish or an egg that's fit to accompany bread, and you also need bread. You must have both. What's the ikar of the two? We'll see them from the nafkaminas. The ikar is the tafshil. The bread is not so important. The matzah, people take a matzah, take a challah, I don't know what they take, whatever they take, the bread is not so important. What is critical is the tafshil, the hard-boiled egg or your piece of gefilte fish. Let's see. What? L'chatkil, yes, but the other no. He's going to discuss all the details in a few moments. V'gam pas, u'mevarech, you pick them up, you make a bracha, you pick them up, baruch atah Hashem, v'kinim l'chum asher, k'deshon v'mitzvahs v'mitzvahnu, al mitzvahs, eruv. V'oimer, and then you say in Aramaic. Aramaic used to be the common language. Everyone knew what it meant. Today, no one knows the Aramaic, so you have to really say it in English. Unless you know what it means in Aramaic. B'hadein eruvah, with this eruv, Yehei shara lana, it should be permitted for us le'afuye to bake, v'lafshule to cook, u'le'atmune to warm, to pre-warm, to put into hatmana, u'le'adloka shiraga to light candles, u'le'mevad kol tzarchana to do all of our needs, to bring the siddur to shul on Friday, to be goal the sefer Torah on Friday, miyoyma tova from Yom Tov le'Shabbat to Shabbos. The in the Navin Lashons, if you don't know the translation of these Aramaic words, you said in Yiddish. I don't know, I can't even read this. You want to read this for me?
Durch diesen Eruf. Durch diesen Eruf soll sonst erlaubt, zu backen, zu kochen, zu speisen, zu formen, zu halten. Zalb Licht einzuzünden. Und überhaupt alles gehitten. Von Yantuf auf Shabbos zu verrechten.
What is the last word? Zu verrechten.
Zu verrechten.
What does that mean? To correct, to prepare?
To verrechten, yeah, to correct.
To prepare. To be ready for Shabbos. Okay, so you live.
Yeah.
So it's critical, according to the kids, or Shulchan, it's critical you should first understand exactly what he's saying. Let's see what it's over here in the Shabbos, Allah on the bottom. Aleph. Shaoi Sever Shabbos, Ayim Beshut Chayim Shal, Vini Shahoy Besak Neses, the Erev Yom Tov, the Samach Lachashecha. You're in Shul, you go to Shul Friday night, they're just about ready to say Mizmar Shil Yom HaShabbos. Right? They're just about Dava Mincha, Friday night, Dava Mincha. What? I'm sorry. Wednesday. You're Wednesday. You're in shul Wednesday. Right before they're up to we're having the break. Erev Yom Tov. Samach L'chashecha. V'nitzkar shaloi osa erev tavshilin. So what do you do? Ubera so berach bebeis takneses al mitzvahs erev v'omar betavshul ployni shebeisi. So what you do is unbelievable. So you make the brach in the beis takneses and you say the food in the refrigerator. I know I have a jar of gefilte fish. I have an egg in the refrigerator. I want there's a piece of matzah lying around somewhere, some in the closet or a challah, bulk or whatever it is. Remote bracha. V'omar v'berech al mitzvah. V'omar betavshul ployni shebeisi yehi shari'li kosav sham deloy mahani. Guess what? It doesn't work. You can't make a bracha remotely. You have to have it in front of you. Should sarach davka le'echoyz tatavshil. You must be holding the cooked item. B'yodai v'raya mimogin Avram. And he brings the proof from the Magen Avraham. He says the same thing. V'chein kosav b'ikrei hadas. Okay, the ayin b'teferes yisrael shekosav sham dimahani. Like anything in halacha, it's always a machlekes. Always a machlekes. He brings down another opinion that says that it does work. Now, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the sefer, the teferes yisrael. He says that it says. Zayin teferes is a mishnayis. Zayin the mishnayis teferes yisrael. Could be peitzah peberg beitzah. Zayin shekosav sham dimahani. He disagrees. You can make a bracha remotely. So you have your machlekes, sapayiskim, if you can do it remotely. Okay, next, halacha, now we have...
If you have bread at the table, you can't make a motzi away from the table, you have to be bread at the
table. Definitely. When you're making brachas hanenin, for sure. When it comes to, here it's brachas hamitzvah, when it comes to brachas hanenin, the food is not in front of you, it's mamash brachal levatala, the food is not in front of you. But when it comes to here, you may think that there's really reason to be lenient, because this is not a birchas hanenin, this is a birchas hamitzvahs. And I'm not going to eat it anyway, and the food exists, just where the question is, I'm going to use that. And he holds, no, it has to be part of the way the machlokes is when Chazal instituted this takana, that they require it to be befanaf. Halacha base, tzarch sheyeh hatav shel davar shedarko lechol impas. The food must be something which is customarily eaten with bread. Kegoyin basar, dogim, ubeitzim. Aval davar shein darko lechol impas, loy mahani, some exotic type of cooked food which he'll never eat with bread is not fruit. Sufficient. Fruit. It has to be cooked. A baked apple, you don't eat with bread, right? Is that what you're saying? Okay. Okay, so things that you don't eat with bread in Echnami is not going to be good. Next. Shua Tavshul Kazais. What is a Tavshul Kazais? It's very, very small. The Apas is Kibetz. A Beitz is approximately 2 zeisim. 2 olives, Beitz is 2 eggs, that's how much bread you need. So obviously an egg, a hard-boiled egg, is double. Because an egg is typically, in halacha, is considered to be about 2 olives. So you have a hard-boiled egg, you have no doubt, you have a large enough shear for your tafshil, but the bread has to be the size of a beitza. How much is a beitza? Depends, you know, it's not so simple. A beitza, you know, talking about a kazayis, Pesach night, matzah, so they're pretty strict. Look on the charts, how much is 1 kazayis of matzah? Matzah is a lot of ear. If you take matzah, well, that's a 2 kazesim. That's in the 3 quarters could be 2 kazesim. So you only need to have half of that. But you have to have you have to have, so you're right, three, you're right, because you have to have a beitz of matzah, right? You're in chlam. You have to have the same amount of matzah that you have to have for the mitzvah of your mitzvah matzah. You're right, because you have to have a beitz of matzah, a beitzah, and the night of the seder you have to have a kezayis. And for the mitzvah of achilas matzah, you have 2 kezayisim. A mitzvah for achilas matzah, and a kezayis for lecha mishnah. So you have 2 kezayisim, which is pretty much as a beitzah. So the same amount of matzah that you're going to use for the night of the seder, when you make the bracha, asher kedushon, when the custom is to have two kazesim really is a beitza. So you have to have that amount of matzah for your Erev Tafshilin. A bulka is normally at least 2 kazesim or a full matzah. You have a full matzah, you're in business. If you have a full machine matzah, that's more than enough.
Would you have to keep it together?
What? To put the matzah, what?
Matzah with the top?
Yes, you should. Yeah. You should.
Usually you put it in the fridge.
You should put it together. Definitely. Well, you make the bracha, at least when you make the bracha, you should be together. Then you can put it away. You go with the matzah back in the box, and you put the egg in the refrigerator. You do what you want.
I don't know which matzah it is, you put it back in the box.
Not necessarily. I mean, you're lechatchila supposed to eat it for shalosh shuris. We talk about that. Lechatchila. He's supposed to use it for lecha mishneh. He's supposed to use it all the days of lecha mishneh. He's supposed to keep it every single day. We'll see that soon. Let's go further. So v'yesh shir tavshul kazayis v'apas kebeitza v'yesh lahade achamone yofel l'chvad mitzvah. It should be a good piece of matzah. Don't take broken pieces of matzah. V'gam apas yesh sholein, because this is a mitzvah. You should be mechabed the mitzvah. Anything you make a bracha on, it should be first rate, first class. Don't go cheap on mitzvahs. V'anichoy b'shabbos l'lecha mishnah. And you should, now it says only for Shabbos. That means for Yom Tov, the first 2 days in, you can just put it away, put it in the box, and don't look at it. Shouldn't get lost. You don't want to get, if it gets lost, you're in trouble. We'll talk about that soon. But you should put it away, and you should use for lecha mishnah on Shabbos. The suda shlishis yivatze alav, and for shalosh sudos suda shlishis, you shall break upon that lech, on that matzah. Why? This is the yisod. It's a very famous yisod. This is the one classic example. Kevon disavid be mitzvah chad zimna yisavid bo nami mitzvah achlita. Once you use something, an object for one mitzvah, you shall try your utmost to use that object for another mitzvah. And therefore, since you use this matzah for mitzvah erev tafshilin, should be part of your lecha mishnah to use it for Shabbos, the third meal. Okay, on the bay at the bottom is base. Basar dagma beitz ma'ayim beber hetif. The bimaliach herring ein ma'arvin bo. You should not use something that is salted. You have to use something that is cooked. Heat has to be applied. Something that's been salted, that's not the same thing. Remember, Belsky once told us in Shir, and Tarvidati told us that he wants to, you know, Belsky is the mumcha and kashrus. he's the, one of the policemen for the OU, was Rav Herschel Schachter. He says that once they found out in the OU there was a certain conservative kashrus organization giving hechsherim. So they found that how did they hechsher, how did they kashrus the kelim? And there was a certain restaurant or hotel that this conservative group came in to kasher. How did they, there was a woman who was in the mashkiach. She took salt or maybe salt water and she poured it, she soaked it, all the kelim, in salt water, and she was machadesh meliach harehim kitzli kerasech. So meliach is kerasech, that salting is like kerasech, it's like boiling. And that principle has nothing to do with being poilate tan isser. It's a total
and you could have pagan salt.
It's called a pegima, but it's a pegima. You have to have detergent. It has to be toisim tam lufkan. I don't think it says anywhere that salt water is toisim tam lufkan. It's certainly not a hider, okay? But tam lufkan, the detergent, that's what they use today in every single hotel. When you go to a simcha in a hotel, I don't know about in a catering house, but let's say you go to the Brooklyn Marriott. We go to a dinner, a lot of these yeshiva dinners, or you go to the Hilton. You don't hear too many dinners anymore in the Hilton. I don't go to dinners anyway, but you go to a dinner in a non-kosher hotel. They don't wait 24 hours. They don't have time. They don't give the Jewish organization 24 hours to kasher. So they put tam lufkan, bleach. They put bleach. They put detergent, and they kasher all the kelim less than 24 hours using detergent. Exactly.
But now you can't do that in factories because you have to use U.S. FDA approved
detergent.
Detergent.
So what's the problem?
It has to be edible.
So
if you have a factory,
yeah, so
it could never be nice in time with God.
Why is that? Just because it's edible?
Edible detergent.
I don't know how it works. He's saying maybe, I don't know.
You're putting in a liquid into the manufacturing process. You can't just put in any lye.
So but even if it's edible, that doesn't mean it's not nice in time with God.
It's
not poisonous.
It's terrible.
It doesn't taste good.
It's there.
So to you, herring might be terrible. To me, it's delicious.
No, the herring over here.
The detergent is not. It's not.
Okay.
You know, see kids eat detergent so they can make bubble.
Okay, let's go further. We have over here, he says that herring is not cold, is not sufficient. Even you only can use something that's cooked. Al ho'esh, avul b'dievri disagrees. Like every good thing in halacha, there's a machlokes. Al b'dievri mahani gam b'moliach, salted foods are okay. Rak shlo yivorech. However, if you're only using moliach, don't make the bracha. V'yomer hanusuch b'loy bracha ayin shem. So if you're really caught, you're stuck somewhere, it's not the ikuk takana. It's safek bracha, safek brachas lachal. It's good enough to make use for erev, but b'dievri you're not allowed to make. You're not allowed to make a bracha ayin.
You can make,
he says, he's machlokes. So one opinion says herring, it's no good. It's not even called good b'dievet, the herring. And the other says that it's good b'dievet to use herring, but you cannot make.
What does that mean?
No mevushal. That you had rock mevushal. The only thing you can use is on fire.
What does that mean?
It means bishul. What it means?
Which means if you put it in the microwave.
Oh, you said that if the food
has to be an age.
Baked this time. He's saying that microwave, these new technologies would not be considered to be kosher for an object, food for
kavush or something.
Possible, okay, maybe.
If you have
that for sure not. Kavush for sure not.
Let's say a cold frank.
A cold frank was already cooked. A piece of frozen pizza was already baked. It's not so. Now it's just frozen. A piece of a frank was already cooked in the past. No?
That doesn't go with bread.
No, it does. Meat automatically. You put a frank in a bun. Why not?
Smoked bread is not cooked. Smoked meat is not cooked.
Pizza, the cheese is cooked. The cheese is the bread. The dough is the bread. So that's considered anything that is cooked. The Gemara is a klal. Anything that is cooked automatically, came out automatically, is going to be eaten with bread. That's the general rule.
Now you cut a slice of pizza. Is just
both? He says you have to have two, like Mishalach Manas. You have to have two things. Sushi is fish. It's not cooked. It's not cooked. Raw fish. Raw fish. Okay, don't get me started about sushi. Positive. I love sushi. My negativity is those who want to ban Why would you want to ban sushi?
Because it's not the
traditional. It's not a mesorah. There's no mesorah in eating sushi. Okay, let's not go there. Let's go further. If it's pickled with brine, ma'arvimbo, and mishnebu is makel, that's already a different madrega. Kavush is kimavushal. Kavush in this context is good enough, you can use it for eruvik.
You know, it makes tafshilin. Sense because.
So then herring, if you do.
Herring, he seems a different types. Maybe different types of herring. Herring, all herring is kavush for 24 hours in brine?
The reason is
maybe today. I don't know, maybe the old types of herring was not as intense.
It's a sorrow for it because yeah. What you're saying is just like just this piece of meat was I prepared the herring.
Yeah.
So I'm going to prepare more meat like this.
Yeah. Well, that's later. We need to get that. Yeah.
Kavush and luach, you can't prepare that
in advance.
12 hours. It takes time. Longer time.
It doesn't matter. This is the Chazal when they go masakin, the Erev Tavshil, they go masakin, you have to use a Tavshil.
Right.
A Tavshil generally is ish.
You can't cook it in a day or two. You can't make herring in a day or two. You can't make pickles in a day or two. It takes much longer. So
yeah.
You can't
so
say
what?
I'm going to, just like this pickle that I made the bracha on, I'm going to make prepare for Yom Tavshil and Shabbos.
That's like this piece of pickle that I prepared yesterday. It was prepared already.
But we're talking to give you the source to prepare today for tonight.
No.
And you can't
prepare yesterday?
No, this is on Wednesday. This is what you're doing on Wednesday. No. You're making the Erev
right,
Wednesday.
Right, you're making the Erev on Wednesday. But what are you saying? That on
I'm beginning
Friday, I should be able to cook for Shabbos.
Yeah, because I've already started my preparation
just
for Wednesday.
Just like this I started doing. But you can't possibly do a kavush or...
It doesn't matter what you can't possibly do. You have to start with a davar choshev. When you want to go show that you begun your preparation already on Wednesday to show that you know the halacha.
Herring is not davar choshev?
Pretty much, that's what it's saying, yeah. Herring is not a davar because it's not a tavshil. Chazal makbid that you use a tavshil. What's a tavshil? Eish. Eish is choshev, so food that's gone through a significant preparation. No, it's not a solid. It has to be a tavshil by definition is something that is a solid. A tavshil is something that's a solid. Soup is not a solid, it's morok.
So pichah is definitely.
Okay, so this let's see, halacha gimel ein erev tafshilin moil el lahatir lasayis kol tzarche Shabbos biyomdav beod hayom gadol. Okay, now I'm going back to the halacha of Rabba. Rabba says that the reason why we make an erev tafshil is because we want to find the legal loophole that when I'm making the preparations, I'm not really preparing for Shabbos, I'm preparing for today, and that possibility must exist, and therefore you must make the preparations early in the day when the food will be ready complete. By the time it comes later in the day, where guests may theoretically come, you'll sit them down. If it would happen, it would occur that people, guests, would arrive that have not yet eaten today, there'll be enough time to serve them a meal. So the food already must be cooked at a point where the food is ready to eat for consumption, at least during the time of the day when a guest will be able to partake.
But then,
what?
You have to put up soup early also?
Yeah. The soup has to be already prepared, yes. The soup has to already be edible, at least at a time of the day where you can serve it to a guest and they'll enjoy it before sunset. Of course. Well, there's even a bigger problem because you're not allowed to prepare food on Shabbos. We all know that unless you have a blech.
Right.
You're saying you have a blech. So you're saying that that's not a problem because you don't have a blech. So you're not going to shove yachta to b'cholim. Right. Absolutely. The soup has to be, you're doing malacha, and has to be prepared, and there's no shayla of shema yachta. So inachnami, you have to, has to be hot. Yeah, that's what it seems to say. L'chatchila. L'chatchila. We be the eved, all the situations where we fall short, we do rely upon Rav Chista, that you can even prepare the very last moment, because you're allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, it has a higher Kedusha. But l'chatchila, you don't want to rely upon that. We want to rely upon the chitch of Rabbah, that it should be actually edible, so it has to be nechlan, it has to be ready to go before Yom Tov. So let's see further. There's no time during the day that we had no smim. ולכן דאפור, נוהגים לקוסטם איס, כשחל ביום טוב בערב שבס, מקדימים לספל על ערבי, so he says there's something very interesting, that we dive, that's why the custom is to dive in, an early Shabbos Yom Tov. When Yom Tov and Shabbos back to back, so you should say Mizmor Shir before sunset. Yeah, you should daven Shabbos early. Mizmor Shir said right away. Loigim keshachal Yom Tov b'Shabbos b'erev Shabbos makdimim lespal arvish shel Shabbos mibeod Yom. Why? Because if you're going to shul early, you're making an early Shabbos. That's a guarantee. All of the food's going to be prepared early in the day. If you're going to daven Shabbos b'zman, you're going to play with the clock. You're going to come down to the wire, and when you come down to the wire, there's not going to be enough time theoretically for a guest to come to your house and enjoy the meal that you prepared for Shabbos on the day before Yom Tov. But if you're going to make an early Shabbos, so good, I'm making an early Shabbos, but I don't have to make an early Shabbos. If I really want to, I can wait and hold out until sunset. But at least making an early Shabbos in the community, that guarantees the food is going to be prepared much earlier than otherwise would have been, so then we can theoretically rely upon this legal loophole that if a guest would come, I could serve them a meal at an early point in time. שחל ביום דבר שבס מקדים לספל ארבס של שבס וביום שיהיו זריזים למעל לגמר הכל יקביק בי סוויף to complete everything קודם שם before we say מזמר שיר לי עם השבס והתפשילים שמתמינים לשבס the food that you put away to keep warm for שבס צריכים להתמינם בעוד יום גדול while it's early in the day שיספשלו קודם בין השמושת כל הפחה שליש בשולון he just talking about the general halacha that the nala and when it comes to cooking on Shabbos, where you're not allowed to cook something that is not complete before Shabbos begins, because Shema Yachte Begacham, you may stoke the coals, and therefore you have to make sure that the food since it's Yom Tov and Shabbos, and you're preparing later in the day, you have to remind yourself that the food has to be fully cooked or at least one third cooked before Shabbos begins, so you should not need a blech. But if you're going to cook the food in a way where it's not going to be one third cooked, then you can avoid this problem that he mentions over here. By having what we do today, we have a blech. Okay, we will stop over here.
The next day is Tashrei. This Pesach, the second day.